wasn't the fact he was wealthy that was the problem. Abraham himself had been very wealthy. The problem was the rich man's wealth dominated and controlled his life to such an extent that there was no room in his heart for God. He had an appetite for fabulous food, but he didn't have an appetite for the Word of God. He clothed himself with the finest garments he could buy, but he didn't clothe himself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, qualities that we see listed in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. These qualities were not shown to poor Lazarus, who was dumped at the gate of his house. And he must have known that Lazarus was there, because he now identifies him by name. He appeals to Abraham, "Send Lazarus over here to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue." In other words, I want him to make me feel better. He's so self-focused that he views Lazarus merely as someone to do his bidding. And Abraham says, "No. The good things you had in life are over. And for Lazarus, the distress and discomfort he had in life are also over. Lazarus can't come to you, heartless man, because there's a great chasm separating him from you and you from him." But that's not the only appeal the rich man makes. Verses 27 to 29. "Then the rich man said, 'Please, Father Abraham, at least send him to my father's home, for I have five brothers, and I want him to warn them so they don't end up in this place of torment.' But Abraham said, 'Moses and the prophets have warned them. Your brothers can hear what they wrote.'" Again, "Send Lazarus, send him. If not to me, then to warn my brothers." And once more, Abraham denies his request. He points out that his brothers have already been warned by the writings of Moses and the prophets. In other words, the Old Testament scriptures. If his brothers have any interest at all in being in a right relationship with God, let them pay attention to the scriptures, the word of God. But the rich man has the audacity to argue with Abraham. The rich man replied, "No, Father Abraham, no. But if someone is sent to them from the dead, then they will repent of their sins and turn to God." But Abraham said, "If they won't listen to Moses and the prophets, they won't be persuaded, even if someone rises from the dead." If someone is sent to them from the dead, surely his brothers are bound to pay attention if someone who has died warns them of what lies ahead. "Then," says the rich man, "they will repent of their sins and turn to God, won't they?" But Abraham's response, we've just read it, "If they won't listen to Moses and the prophets, they won't be persuaded, even if someone rises from the dead." This is the second time that Abraham talks about heeding what Moses and the prophets have said. The Old Testament scriptures were available for the rich man's brothers to hear and to heed, if they chose. Someone rising from the dead wouldn't be any more effective in changing the hearts and minds of these men. When Jesus himself rose from the dead, lots of people believed and turned to God through him. But there were many, many people who were totally unmoved and unaffected by such an amazing happening. And the same is true today.